All right, class. We're going a little further in this lesson about David. We covered a lot of ground last week about David. We read the scriptures in 1 Samuel 24 and then the incident in 1 Samuel 26. Then we read the incident in 1 Samuel 1, I think verse 14, where this young man, I think he was an Amalekite, ended up killing Saul. And David had him killed for it because he had come against God's own anointing. And he made a statement, you can't do that and be blameless, be without judgment. Now, we're going to hinge off of these same scriptures. So I want to remind you that we're still coming out of the instances of David resisting Haman Saul and resisting ascending to the throne in the spirit of rebellion. Now, promotion doesn't come through rebellion. And it seemed like an invisible line in the sand, and people do it every day. They try to get promoted another way besides God's way. And I think it vexes God when people try to operate in spiritual things in the natural. And God forbid those things. It has to be from a true heart that we do things for God. And it has to be in the spirit that we do things for God. So we're going to deal with this subject here. Obedience is higher than work. Now, we're going to find out that you can't substitute your work for obedience. Just because you do a lot of things, that don't mean you're obedient. And we're going to look at it through the life of David. Okay, class? Now, I'm just going to begin here with a lot of points and a lot of statements here that we need to get a hold of, because there's a lot of things we can learn from these things. It says if men are to serve God, subjection to authority is an absolute necessary. And it seemed like a very plain statement. If we to serve God, being subject to authority is absolute necessary. And it's this the thing is this, class, is that sometimes people don't understand what it truly means to serve and to be in subjection. The church world as a whole has gone so long doing things their own way that when spiritual things are presented, or God's way is presented, or the apostolic is presented, it's almost like a new way of doing things. So there have to be a turnaround, a restoration for God to do what he wants to do in these last days. And that's why the apostolic have to convert things. He had to convert people mind. You know, what we thought was submission was not submission at all. What we thought was obedience, we're going to find out that a lot of times it wasn't obedience at all. Because I'm going to make this other statement. Obedience is higher than works. You see it? Because a lot of times we associate obedience with our works. But it goes a little bit deeper than that. Obedience has to be associated with your heart attitude. With your spiritual DNA, something have to be deposited in you by God himself to be able to cause you to function properly in this area of this apostolic obedience, I'm calling it. You see, in other words, this obedience has to be one that engineered by God himself. And that is a significant difference in this particular obedience and this particular submission that the church world very few have walked in it. And it's a rare obedience. And this is what's gonna take us from point A to point B, where the Spirit of God can finally have his free course in men and women's lives. And that's why God said in the 15th chapter of 1 Samuel, he told him, if you're willing and obedient, you see, that's the word submission and obedience in the same verse. I call it willing obedience. It's a difference. You see, because any action may seem like obedience, but it's not. You take orders, and it looks like you're carrying it out. It looks like it's enough. I obey it because I did what they asked me to do. But no, it has to be a willing obedience. It has to be transparent obedience, with no. Help me find the word, Lord. With no alternative motive. Well, it took me a while to get it, Uncle Ab, but I knew it was coming. With no other motive, no ulterior motive. You'd be surprised, class, how people play these spiritual games in the church, like the world play to get promoted spiritually. There are people just hanging around churches right now, preachers hanging around churches, hoping they can get a sermon, hoping they can get the position, hoping they can get maybe when the pastor retire that they can slip in and stretch with the demonic strategies to try to get the placing. But no, let's read this, just our lesson, and we're going to see how this obedience is higher than works. You take into another realm of the spirit. And that's what the apostle is doing. It's taking your class to another realm of the spirit. You see? Where we can walk in the spirit and not mess with this flesh mess. It's a lot of flesh mess that goes on that God had nothing to do with. You see? But it looks good in men's eyes. And they try to make things work, and it don't work. Obedience transcends our work. Listen, Claire. Should David rule his kingdom, but fail to be subject to God's authority, he would be as useless as Saul. You see, that's why God couldn't take David. Couldn't make David king and put him in the seat of Saul right away. David had to go through some preliminary tests. You know, even though God knew his heart, but his heart had to be developed spiritually in the right way. All his training from the shepherd boy to the last temptation he had with Saul was for to put him in position for the throne. But it didn't come overnight. I don't know how many years was transpired during David's training, but it doesn't transcend your work. You see it? Now, the same principle of rebellion works in both in the Old Testament, Saul, and the New Testament, Judas. The first spared the best of the sheep and the oxen, while the second coveted 30 pieces of silver. Now let me explain this now. Now, the same principle of rebellion. Saul tried to use his sacrifice, you see, to substitute for rebellion. Judas returned the 30 pieces of silver and thought that was going to replace his rebellion. But no, the only thing, Clive, the only thing that can take care of rebellion is repentance. Genuine repentance is the only thing that get rid of rebellion and a rebellion spirit. That's why God placed a man before you, because now you got to come before a man and you have to repent before a man, even though he has infirmities also. That puts you in a position of humility when you have to do that. You have to humble yourself to do that. Consecration does not cover the sin of rebellion. You see it? I don't care how you consecrate yourself. It's not the same thing. You see? It's not the same thing as repentance. David did not dare kill Saul with his own hand in order to expedite God's plan and will. He waited for God to work. Underline this in your book if you can find it, Claire. He waited for God to work. His heart was in quiet obedience. Even that one time when he cut off Saul's skirt, his heart smote him. You see it? Now, quiet, let's talk about quiet obedience. Quiet obedience may seem foolish in the natural. May seem like you a that's the word I'm trying to get. That you a flunky. That's a good word. May seem like you're a flunky. Before men, eyes I'm talking about. But this is what you got to deny yourself. This is what you got to die. And this is what you got to become a child to be able to submit. You have to have a childlike spirit to submit and be a servant. You have to become as a child. You almost have to have childish ways when it comes to submission to authority. In other words, a child does not have his own way, you know, and a child don't have his own will. You see it? So you have to die to be obedient. Some things you got to die to. And all these things we're talking about structures you to be the type of person God wants you to be before promotion comes. Are you with me, Claire? David's spiritual sense was so keen at that of New Testament believers. Now, what do you mean so keen at that New Testament believer? David, now, I think David supersedes some New Testament believers by the mile, by the 10,000 miles. Because even though we're New Testament believers, and as New Testament believers, we have the Spirit within us and upon us. If you don't follow the Spirit, you just worthless as Saul. If you walk in the flesh and not walk in the Spirit, even though you're a New Testament believer, you just as worthless. You see it sometimes. If you don't learn to submit to the Holy Spirit and allow Him to lead you out of a pure heart. You see it? So, we need to make some adjustment when it comes to this kind of submission that we're talking about. Today we should not merely condemn killing, even in smaller actions, such as the cutting off of another's skirt, which is just with a small knife, is to be condemned, for it too is rebellion. Backbiting, or bad manners, or inward resistance may be classified as killing, may not be classified as killing, yet they certainly certainly constitute the same as cutting off the skirt. Now he's putting this in another category. He's putting the smoting of the heart with backbiting and inward resistance. Inward resistance is you're resisting on the inside and nobody can see it, Clad. Nobody know you're resisting on the inside with you, but you. You see it? It looks like you're submitting on the outside, but inside, class, you're resisting. You know that old spirit of resistance? You understand when you're not in agreement on the inside, but look like your hands up on the outside, but it's down on the inside? You know what I'm talking about. So that just... He's trying to let you know that we can't escape from any of these things. Now, we're going into a little deeper water here. We don't escape from any of these things. God wants a perfect heart. He wants your hand lifted on the inside and on the outside. What do you mean hand lifted? In other words, you want submission on the inside of you and submission on the outside of you. He wants to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. But before you can be controlled by the Holy Spirit, there has to be a spiritual, surgical operation on the inside. And you have to have a spiritual revelation of this authority. Everybody's not going to walk in this spiritual authority, that understanding that we're talking about here. Everybody's not going to qualify for it because everybody doesn't want to die to this. Everybody don't want to go to the next level. Everybody want to be their own man. Everybody want to be their own woman. Everybody want to make their own decision. Everybody don't want to submit to authority to the level we're talking about. Some saying you don't have to do all of that. Some say you don't have to be a flunky. You don't have to be a fool. You don't have to be kicked around. You don't have to be rebuked. No, sometimes it takes all of that. Sometimes it takes all that and more so God can mold you and be what you need to be. Don't be like the first five. What's first five? The first time you're corrected and the first time you're rejected. Because it could be God is trying to get you somewhere. You see, don't despise the chastening of the Lord. Sometimes God's chasing us, try to get us into some places that we never been or put in some position we never been in before so we can go where we never been. But sometimes God got to check us in ways we don't like, ways don't feel good. When you got to die, it don't feel good to die, especially before others. When you rebuke before others, oh, you get cut deep and you bleed deep. And you might bleed for a long time, but sometimes that bleeding, it'll stop if you permit it to stop and you stop feeling sorry for yourself and you get back on your feet and repent and get things right, then God can take you to some place you've never been. The worst child get the worst whipping. You see it? Some children, you know, growing up, you know, had got different characteristics built into them. Some take more correction than others. Some children, their heart's so soft, even a soft word will put them right back in position. But other children have to be broken like a wild horse. And then they have to be rebuked sharply and take strong correction because the heart has to be cultivated. It has to be plowed. It has to be reconditioned and to be able to be softened to the place where God can get in and do some things. It takes a revelation, Clem. Today we should not merely condemn killing, but even a smaller action such as the cutting off of another's skirt with a small knife to be condemned, for it too is rebellion. Backbite, bad manners, inward resistance may not be classified as killing, yet they certainly constitute the same as the cutting off of the skirt. Class, you understand what I'm trying to get at here? We're trying to go deeper into this. We're trying to know, Lord, what must I do to be usable? What must I do to be qualified to serve my leader, my apostle, my church, my wife and my family? You see, could this extend to the home also? So all these things, backbiting, inward resistance, all these things stem from a rebellious spirit. David was one who knew the authority of God in his heart. Although repeatedly chased by Saul, he submitted himself to God's authority. He even addressed Saul as my Lord, or the Lord's anointed. This reveals an important fact. Subjection to authority is not, subjection to authority is not being subjected to a person, but being subjected to the anointing which is upon that person. The anointing which came to him when God ordained him to be in authority. Oh, Claire, that was a mouthful. David had this revelation, and you're going to have to get this revelation too. That you see, when your thoughts, when you're submitted to a person, you become a man pleaser. But when you submit to the anointing, you become a God pleaser. You're gonna please God because you submitted to the anointing that God placed upon that person. Because that person gonna make mistakes. The person gonna say things sometimes, you know, that they might not need to say. They're gonna think things sometimes like that they don't need to think because they're imperfect. They're walking in infirmities. You see, and we got to understand that authority is not on their flesh. It's on their spirit. It comes with the office. Even though Saul was no longer a king, he's functioning in an anointed office. That office. And that's why sometimes people, you know, they function as pastors and may not really be pastors, you know, in other words, but because they're in that office, God's going to judge them according to that office. You see, and they don't understand that. God judges according to the office because there's anointing that comes with the office that God recognized. You see, even though it might have an imperfect person in that office, but that office still is ordained by God until God put the right person in that office. You still have to be submitted to that office. Are you with me? Now, when I say submit, even that the wrong person, you submit as far as God permits you to submit when a person is not God's choice in an office. And that's why David was able to function as he functioned as far as he could submit to Saul. He knew he couldn't go because Saul was in rebellion. But Saul still had that office. And even though Saul made many mistakes, David still recognized him as God's authority. You see it? You see it? If David didn't have spiritual understanding, he would have allowed Saul to kill him many times. Would that be resisting authority? If he just said that, well, I'm submitted to Saul. Saul's still king. So Saul, do to me whatever you want to do to me. Saul would have killed him. But no, he had enough spiritual sense to run from Saul, hide from Saul, protect himself from Saul, but still recognize I'm trying to say more than I'm saying. But you see it? You see it? So you respect the office. But if the person got problem, then David ran from him. You see it? But still, it kept his heart right where God can use him. All right. I hope you catch what I just said. David recognized the anointing upon Saul and acknowledged that he was the Lord's anointed. He was the Lord's anointed. David recognized the anointing upon Saul and acknowledged that he was the Lord's anointing. He would therefore rather flee for his own life than stretch out his hand to kill Saul. You see? Why? Because he recognized Saul as God's anointed. So, here's a good point I'm going to throw out to you, Claire. You see, even though David knew Saul was wrong, David would not permit himself to kill Saul. Why? Because if he killed Saul, then he would have functioned in rebellion. Even to the point of not being able to secure the throne. If you would have secured the throne, it would have been in the spirit of rebellion. And like we stated earlier, he would have been just as worthless as Saul. And he didn't want to go through the throne in the same spirit that Saul functioned in. Are you with me, class? I hope you caught that. Saul disobeyed God's commandment and was rejected by God. This, however, was between Saul and God. Oh, what a statement here. Even though Saul disobeyed God's commandment and was rejected by God, however, this was between Saul and God. And so sometimes we got to understand to the point that God judges those whom he called. And sometimes we try to get in the way of judgment. If they're not right, God's going to move them. But watch this. In his own time, in his own wisdom. And sometimes it's hard for people to understand that. They try to do things in the natural. And they try to, on human effort, to try to correct someone that they believe is wrong. But God knows how to correct those, and God knows the right timing. God knows what to do with his own. You see it? So even though you may see, sometimes people go to churches and they outgrow the churches, they outgrow the pastor, and so they try to make changes themselves, but you can't do that. God got to do that. God put that person in place, or God allowed that person put in place, and they're functioning in that position of authority. Well, God know how to, his timing. God know how to take care of his own. God know how to set one down and put up another. But don't you try to do it. And see, you try to do it, you get in rebellion. And you be functioning in the wrong principle. And God doesn't like that. God doesn't like that. Class, we're almost done. One more statement I want to say to you. David's responsibility before God was to be subject to the Lord's anointing. That's all David had to do. Because if David was subject to the Lord's anointing, you know what God said? God said, David, you do your part, and I'm going to do my part. When you subject to God's anointing, God's going to do the rest. God's going to make the correction. God's going to make the projection. What do you mean? You know, it's God's project. God knows how to fulfill his project. God will not let his work go undone or let his work go unfulfilled, or God will not let his people suffer beyond measure. So class, pay close attention to some of the notes we gave. And we're going to have our quizzes on these things. And so you've been in a good class. And I'll see you next week. God bless you.